Okay, today's lesson will be somewhat shorter than the others because it contains a number of subtle ideas. And also, there are some challenging exercises at the end that are included for you to think about at home. And we're going to start out by looking at really a quite subtle series that's very important in the theory of Fourier series. And that's the series summation j equals 1 to infinity of sine j over j. And you can see that sine j is infinitely often positive and infinitely often negative in a very complicated way that's hard to get your hands on. But Abel's convergence test is going to give us a handle on how to handle this series. So we take the AJs to be sine j, we take the BJs to be 1 over j, and you see that the BJs tend monotonically to 0, which is what Abel's test requires. And for the sum, partial sums of the AJs, let's use the following trigonometric identities. Cosine of j plus a half is cosine j cosine a half minus sine j sine a half, and cosine of j minus a half is cosine j cosine a half plus sine j sine a half. What we're going to do is we're going to subtract these equations and solve for sine j. And what you find is that sine j is cosine j minus a half, take away cosine j plus a half, over twice sine a half. And therefore, capital A sub n, which is the term we use in Abel's convergence test, namely it's summation j equals 1 to capital N of AJ, is summation from j equals 1 to n of cosine j minus a half, take away cosine j plus a half, over 2 sine 1 half. And what you see then is that this sum collapses. That is, the terms almost all cancel out, and you find that capital AN equals minus cosine of capital N plus a half plus cosine a half over 2 sine a half. And therefore, the absolute value of a capital A sub n is less than or equal to 2, because cosine plus cosine is less than or equal to 2, divided by 2 sine a half, and that's 1 over sine a half. And that's the bound that you get independent of capital N, which is exactly the hypothesis of Abel's test, and therefore we know immediately that the series converges. So it's really quite a remarkable result. And now we have a take-home exercise for you. Show that the series summation absolute sine j over j and the series summation sine squared j over j divergence. And I'll give you a hint for the summation of sine squared j over j. Namely, there's a formula from that you learned in calculus through sine squared j that expresses it in terms of cosine 2j. And that will help you to do that problem. And the other one is actually even easy. Once you've done sine squared, the one for sine is easy. And there's another hint that's provided here in the text if you like. And now we have a new concept. A series of real or complex number summation j equals 1 to infinity aj is said to be absolutely convergent if summation absolute aj converges. For example, the series summation cosine j over j squared is absolutely convergent because the absolute value of cosine j over j squared is less than or equal to 1 over j squared, and that's a convergent series. So, first proposition, if a series summation aj is absolutely convergent, then it is convergent. And that's very easy to prove using the Cauchy criterion, so I'll let you think about it. A series summation j equals 1 to infinity aj is said to be conditionally convergent if summation aj converges, but it does not converge absolutely. We see that absolutely convergent series are convergent, but the next example shows the converse is not true. Consider the standard alternating series summation j equals 1 to infinity minus 1 to the j over j, and we know that converges by the alternating series test, but it's not absolutely convergent because the absolute value gives you summation 1 over j, and that's the harmonic series which diverges. There is a remarkable robustness result for absolutely convergent series. It fails dramatically for conditionally convergent series. This result is enunciated in the next theorem. We first need a definition. Let summation aj be a given series. Let pj be a sequence in which every positive integer occurs once and only once, but not necessarily in the usual order. We call pj a permutation of the natural numbers. Then the series summation a sub pj is said to be a rearrangement of the given series summation aj. The theory of Riemann and Weierstrass, two of the great analysts of the 19th century, is this. Let summation aj be an absolutely convergent series, and let L be its sum. then every rearrangement of the series summation aj converges also to L. If the real series summation bj is conditionally convergent and beta is any real number or plus or minus infinity, then there is a rearrangement of the series that converges to beta. So you see that absolutely convergent series are stable under rearrangement. You always get the same sum, but conditionally convergent series are completely unstable under rearrangement, and you get all possible sums. We will prove the first assertion and explore the second assertion in the exercises. So let us choose a rearrangement of the given series and denote it by summation a sub pj, where pj is a permutation of the positive integers. Pick an epsilon bigger than zero. By the hypothesis that the original series converges absolutely, we may choose an integer capital N bigger than zero, such that capital N less than little m less than or equal to little n less than infinity implies that summation j equals little m to little n of absolute aj is less than epsilon. That's the absolute convergence. And this will prove crucial in just a moment. Choose a positive integer capital M so that capital M bigger than capital N, and the integers 1 through capital N are all contained in the list P1, P2 through P capital M. If K is bigger than capital M, then the partial sum summation J equal 1 to K AJ will trivially contain the sumands A1, A2 through A capital N. Also, the partial sum summation J equal 1 to capital K APJ will contain the sumands A1, A2 through A capital N. It follows that summation j equals 1 to capital K AJ minus summation j equals 1 to capital K APJ will contain only sumands after the capital nth one in the original series. By the inequality above, we may conclude that absolute value summation AJ take away absolute value summation APJ, these sums are from j equal 1 to capital K, is less than or equal summation j equal capital N plus 1 to infinity absolute AJ, which we know from our previous choice is less than or equal to epsilon. So we can conclude then that the rearranged series converges into the very same sum. And now we'll conclude with some exercises. Given a sequence AN converging to alpha and PN a permutation of the natural numbers, show that APN also converges to alpha. Suppose that summation BN is a divergent series with positive terms and let SN be its nth partial sum. Show that summation n equals 1 to infinity bn divided by sn diverges. Show that there is a divergent series summation cn with positive terms such that the limit as n goes to infinity of cn over bn equals 0. This question is easy if you understand the first question. And the third question is show that summation bn over sn squared converges. And that's the end of the lesson today. I'll see you next time.